Let's knock this one out of the park, shall we? From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. They put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you ever read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, breathe into us your spirit, we pray, that these words from my mouth, the meditations of my heart, may be wholly acceptable to you and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I'm sorry if that was too loud. I forgot the mic was still on. I just might have woken you up. Compared to hallelujah, praise Jesus, do we know the difference? You see, Hosanna means save us now, or please deliver us. It is a plea, a cry for help. And hallelujah is an expression of praise, a shout of victory. Because you see, there are two types of parades that could enter through the gates of Jerusalem today. The first is the empire's militaristic, just return from war march. All the pomp and circumstance, the marching troops with spears and swords, the stomping of the hooves of war horses, pulling the squeaking wheels of chariots, the banners, it's a long procession. The second is Jesus riding on a blanket-covered donkey alone. It's a stark contrast, is it not? One shouts, "Hallelujah!" The other, "Hosanna!" But which one is which? It helps us at this point to pair the words, "Hallelujah!" and "Hosanna!" to the appropriate parade. Hallelujah! A show of power by the empire. Victory is ours. Hallelujah. When Hosanna is a sacred protest. And protesting, friends, is something that humanity wrestles with on a day-to-day basis, do we not? We hear that wrestling in the resident from Jerusalem who is left with a choice. Her choice is to dismiss Jesus as reckless, is to cling to the familiar, even if it harms others, or the choice is to join him, to risk the wrath of both empire and the religious institution. Palm Sunday is not a spectacle to watch as much as it is a summons to make a decision. Which procession do we join? Which vision do we let shape our lives? Which one will they choose? I want to pause here, just explain a little something to you about the way that the Gospels were written. The Gospel, the word that means what? Gospel means good news. In the Greek language, it's called a euangelion. Euangelion was a popular word back in Jesus' time and before that. You see, every time the Roman Empire conquered a nation, conquered another military, conquered an army, they sent out a messenger with the euangelion, the good news. They also called Caesar Lord. Isn't it strange, then, when we read the Gospels, that euangelion, the good news, takes on a different shape? The euangelion isn't a militaristic march of victory. It is a sacred protest, lifting the cries of the marginalized. Lord comes as a messenger of God and not as a messenger of Caesar. My friends, the Gospels were written intentionally that way to subvert authority. It was done intentionally. Now we choose. And for as long as protests have been around, your choice has also been around. And what are the results of our choices? Do we choose a sacred protest? Or do we choose the militaristic parade? The blossoming of heaven cries for help. Are they heard and heeded? Or does the continuing trampling of the weak under the boot of religion and empire have more success? Which one do we see today? For today, a choice is required of you. Which parade do you join? I tell you, Jesus could not have orchestrated a busier week than the week of his crucifixion. His itinerary includes fulfilling the familiar Hebrew scripture, riding in on a donkey, signaling his identity with a unique royal procession, poking the religious bear by flipping tables. And a part of the story that we didn't read that continues after the scripture that I read from Matthew 21, verses 18 through 21, is the telling of the withering of the fig tree, which, by the way, is a metaphor for the church, the institution, an Old Testament illustration used to tell of the type of life God required of his people, a life requiring his people to bear fruit, feed the hungry, but instead the church has become fruitless. The fig tree bore no figs, it serves no one, it is useless. You know, the crowds are also important. Prior to his entrance, Jesus is hailed as one who comes in the name of the Lord as the Son of David. In that same busy week, the crowd later calls for his death. and the apparent whiplash of popular opinion is disconcerting for us. New Testament scholar and Anglican cleric R.T. France describes the two crowds. First, there are the Galileans who accompany Jesus as he approaches Jerusalem. These are the ones who have seen Jesus make his claim as Messiah by riding on a donkey, signaling that he would be a different kind of king than anticipated. Jesus would be meek and mild, rather than bold and authoritarian. In the second group, though, consisted of those inside Jerusalem whose experience of Jesus was both a threat and an upsetting of the status quo. This second group finds their own positions in peril, and consequently, they look to have them removed. These are two responses by different groups of people to a single claim of messiahship by Jesus Christ. The reading that you heard from Galatians, Paul emphasizes how we should relate to one another in community, that we should bear one another's burdens, be self-reflective, and sow goodness, that we ought not become weary in doing good, and we should do good to all people. Paul isn't concerned about the details, but rather with the new creation, that is, faith expressing itself through love. That second group of people inside Jerusalem insisted on the way things had been. Well, we've never done it that way before. Namely, the details that maintain the status quo of early Jewish identity. The first group saw what the second group did not. Every action Jesus took both signaled that he is the Messiah, but also that Jesus acted out his faith through love. In a way, Paul's words reminds us that we too have an obligation to step in to a sacred protest. That should we take out our earplugs and hear the cries of the disenfranchised, we would be called into a procession with Jesus as our lead, with palm fronds at our feet, answering the cries not of hallelujah, but of Hosanna, save us. Over the last 150 years of our own history here in the United States, protests have marched on and on and on. One of my favorite protest signs that I see commonly at every protest is, "I still can't believe we have to protest this." Will today be the day that your voice rises with a community that cares, as Paul mentions, to bear one another's burdens? Today, which parade do you join? Today, may it be the one that Jesus is leading. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.